Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And they're coming home and they're saying, Mom, I want a vape. Vape.
So when was it that President Trump said that he was going to ban flavored cigarettes? Wasn't that long ago. Apparently, he's reconsidering that. Michelle Minton is a consumer regulation expert from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Glad to have you here this morning. Where do you think things stand as of 7:30 in the morning here?
Yeah, where we're at right now is Donald Trump apparently is going to have a boardroom-style, apprentice-style meeting with the industry, and we're not sure exactly what that means, who is invited. A lot of people made the requests and haven't, so far anyway, as of today, have not received an invitation to come to this giant meeting, where I don't know what the point of the meeting will be, but, you know, right now, it seems like the Trump administration is functionally uninterested in banning flavors, but that doesn't really matter so much. I mean, it's a good, it's definitely reasonable and good, but by spring, May 2020, it may not even matter because the FDA might do it on its own.
And they will operate from a regulatory standpoint. How do they get away with doing that? They've been given the authority to unilaterally ban these items?
Not really, but, you know, in 2007 or 8, the Obama administration, I'm sorry, the Congress under the Obama administration gave the FDA the power to regulate tobacco products. And within that, there was a little note that said, oh, hey, by the way, this is what tobacco products are. And we're going to give you the power to just decide if anything else that comes up new is a tobacco product. So that's what FDA did in the last couple of years. They decided that e-cigarettes were tobacco products, even though they don't contain any tobacco. And the Tobacco Control Act, which allows the FDA to regulate tobacco products, gives the FDA pretty broad authority to ban any ingredients that they want, that they deem unsafe for public health. And so they could say all characterizing flavors are a constituent of e-cigarettes that we don't think are safe, so nobody gets to use them.
So it's now as broad as, you correct me if I'm wrong, anything that's inhaled?
No, you mean and that the FDA could regulate? No, it's anything that's derived from tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, e-cigarettes contain nicotine derived from tobacco. And I think
so that's the
working to try and, yeah, they're trying to make sure that they because there's a loophole there, because there are other sources of nicotine. For example, eggplants, for example. But the Congress, I think, is trying to work to make sure that's not a loophole that anyone will ever try and exploit.
Well, has the industry already been ravaged? You know, we've got Altria headquartered here in the Richmond area. Philip Morris is a longtime corporate entity here employing thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Have they already been knocked around so badly that it would be hard to recover? Or make plans for the future?
The tobacco industry itself is doing just fine. It's the e-cigarette, you know, it's the vaping industry separately from that that's already been really hammered. And we're talking about not Juul, which is partly owned by Altria, not the big ones like Blue and Vuse. We're talking about the 10,000 small businesses that have fewer than 10 employees across this country. It's over 100,000 employees, something like that.
Yeah.
And they're already starting to shut down because of what's happening in the States. You know, when the news about this lung outbreak story, which is entirely related to black market products, specifically black market THC cannabis products, when the story started breaking about that, when the news media started reporting it poorly, the news media was really not making it very clear but this is something I did. I started tracking every case and noting when the people admitted eventually to using THC, and it was almost every single case.
I am so glad. We're talking to Michelle Minton from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. It seems like you've just touched on the real key here, that the press and the regulators are attacking legitimate industry people who have some standards with what they produce and package and put into the marketplace for the horrible reaction that individual consumers have had to black market garbage that nobody's in charge of.
Yeah, no, they said, okay, we've got a problem here that these black market cannabis products are hurting people. So let's go ahead and ban commercially available nicotine e-cigarettes, which have nothing to do with it, and which would just drive people, which would create a new black market and drive people into that black market where they will be hurt by black market products. It makes zero sense. Mm-hmm. But a lot of governors are already trying to knee-jerk reactionary. To functionally, I think it's just to look good.
Yeah.
Like we're doing something for the kids, even though it will hurt the kids. Bans have never worked. Not anywhere in the entire world, history of the world, have bans ever helped people. They just create mobsters, black markets, and people dying from poisoned or tainted products.
Well, why not crack down on the black market stuff more? I mean, get law enforcement involved in it and try to go at that issue, since that seems to be the health problem.
Okay, exactly. I mean, you know, there are two problems here. We've got the lung injury thing from black market products, and then we've got youth use, which is not as big of a problem as people think it is, but it is something to be concerned about. And states, instead of banning products, which would just drive people, you know, to drug dealers who don't check IDs and who don't care about their ingredients, the states could try enforcing their own laws, which is they have a minimum tobacco sales age of 18 or 21. They get billions of dollars from the federal government every year, and they make a lot of money off of taxes. Mm-hmm. They have the full power and capability to go ahead and fine, jail, remove licenses, whatever they need to do, any kind of company or individual who is selling tobacco products to somebody who's underage. And they can go after the black market.
Yeah, sounds like they've got the leverage and the resources and the law on their side to do what they need to do. They're just choosing another solution that will really be damaging to a lot of business people. And, you know, selfishly, folks right here in Richmond should be concerned about it. Michelle Minton, consumer regulation expert from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We'll come back and we'll take a look at the roads this morning and the weather. Not a bad day ahead. That's next. News Radio WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.